There's my music. Here's the first show that I'm doing live in 2018. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, and I am your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. Before I introduce my guests, I'd like to quote Anise Nin. She has written some very erotic books back in the 30s. She says, "Love never dies a natural death. It dies because we don't know how to replenish its source." Oh, there's a lot of truth to that. To help us figure this all out is my guest, my colleague, my good friend, Dr. Lori Buckley, who was last on this program the end of November. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Lori Buckley.
Thank you, Dr. Diane. I'm so glad to be here, and Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you. So Lori is the author of, it's a wonderful book, and it's not a big book, but it's jam-packed with all kinds of good information. It's called 21 Decisions for Great Sex and a Happy Relationship. And Dr. Lori is a licensed psychologist. She's an ASEX-certified sex therapist. And I know her to be a passionate sex therapist. She's a speaker, she's a host, she's a columnist, she's an educator. She and I co-narrated Great Sex for a Lifetime. Oh, do you know that was about 10 years ago now? How fast time goes.
It does go by so quickly.
Yeah. So, but a lot of my clients have really benefited from looking at Great Sex for a Lifetime, which can be found on bettersex.com. Dr. Lori talks in her book a lot about decisions, and I think decisions and resolutions, and here we are at the beginning of a new year, 2018, can be intertwined a bit. And we're going to talk about decisions because that's the centerpiece of your book, I would say. And so you say, Dr. Lori, because we talked off the air before this show, if you were to make one big decision for the new year, what would it be? Expand on that a bit, Lori.
I think it's such a good question. And, you know, resolutions and decisions, they're very closely connected. So we can make a resolution, but if we make a resolution and we just say, oh, I'm going to lose 10 pounds or I'm going to do this thing, that by itself, as we all know, not very effective or powerful. So it's the decision to do it. And, you know, again, why are we doing this? And really getting that decision made, making the commitment to take the action steps that we need to do to get there that's going to make the big difference. So I think starting with one big decision is a really great place. Not that we can't have more, but maybe it's a big decision. Maybe it's I am deciding that this is the year that I get healthy or fit. So, but this time next year, I am going to be a fit, healthy person. Or maybe it's I am going to find love in my life. So making that big decision is, it's just a starting point. And it just, to me, sounds much more powerful than a resolution. You know, I'm going to find love, or I'm going to lose 10 pounds. That's great. It's a start. But we have to keep going, and that's the thing I think that most people forget to do.
And for the theme of this show, a lot of people will say, I want to improve my sex life. And so, and that's, of course, you cover all of that very well in your book, all the action steps you can take, the daily decisions.
Right.
Because improving your sex life, if you don't, think about action steps, it's probably not going to happen. If it's just this amorphous thing, oh, I'm going to improve my sex life. Well, what does that mean?
Right. You have to know what you're going to actually do and how to do that. So if your decision, and I imagine there's a lot of the listeners who have made a decision to improve their sex life or to have better sex, or maybe it's have a better relationship, and part of having a better relationship is to improve your sex life, you know, then now we need to ask ourselves some more questions. Okay, first of all, why is that important? We need to, you know, have that motivator, understand what it is that we actually want. Do we want to have a better sex life? Yes. But I think there's a bigger question. What is it that you get by improving your sex life? So maybe it is a better relationship. Maybe it's more pleasure in your life. Again, there's so many different things. Maybe it's alleviating or eliminating shame that you've been living with, or trauma, past trauma around sex. So there's so many different reasons. And again, there's no real answer. It's for you to get clear about your why. What is it that is motivating you or driving you to make that decision? Then it's finding the steps and the ways to do that. And those are always more decisions, but again, it's the action steps that you're taking. Maybe it's daily. You know, it could be, well, I'm going to read something for 10 minutes every day about sex. That would be something that would improve your sex life. It could be, I'm going to masturbate once a week to get to know my body better. That would be another decision. So, or action step. So it's really experimenting. And sometimes you'll try something for 3 months. That could be one start. Let's see, what am I going to do the first 3 months of the year? Then maybe it'll be the next 3 months. It could be adding something or changing it to something else. I mean, what are some ideas that you, if there's one thing that you, and I know there's more than one thing, but, you know, just out of curiosity, that you would tell your clients, they come in, I want to have a better sex life. Where would you start? What would be an action step that you would recommend for them?
Well, I would like to quote you in your book, because I have actually recommended this to people too, and that is, try banning intercourse for 30 days to discover new and exciting ways to increase sexual pleasure. And by that, we usually call it outer course. This is non-penetrative sex. That can be an action step, and it can bring all sorts of things. I was telling you in October 2012, you were quoted throughout an article in Women's Health on outer course. And you say, in long-term relationships, quoting from Women's Health, outer course can also shake up same old bedroom rituals. If getting naked isn't even a second thought, and this is so true, Lori, it's so true, sex can become routine. But if you experiment with, say, dry humping, you can create anticipation and remind each other of what it was like when you first met. Yeah, you can even, well, I'm of an older generation, but I can remember that dry humping, even as a teenager in a car, was almost a religious experience. But that's a long time ago.
We're never too old for a good dry hump. And, you know, the way that I talk about it now, right? But we can make a distinction between other course and outer course. So it's just a different way that I word it now. I think of other course, probably what I used to call outer course. Other course is doing everything other than outer course. It could be making out. It could be oral sex. It could be all kinds of things, but not penetrative sex. And outer course can be exactly that. It could be basically you keep your clothes on. So it could be dry humping. It could be making out, but you're keeping your clothes on. So it's just another twist on the term outer course, which I think makes it kind of fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Your book, which I so encourage our listeners to buy, they can get it at Amazon. Is that the best place to get it these days?
It is. You can go to Amazon or you can go to my website, and there's a lot of different ways to order it. I believe it's available on, I can't think of what it's called right now, but there's different ways that you can get it in, like, Kindle form or in hardcover from Amazon.
So when I do the write-up on this, I will include, again, the title, 21 Decisions for Great Sex and a Happy Relationship. It's a very interactive book, and you bring your sense of humor to it. You have some great quotes. Chapter 10, Try New Stuff. Mrs. Patrick Campbell said, "It doesn't matter what you do in the bedroom, as long as you do it. As long as you don't do it in the street and frighten the horses." I thought that was a great quote.
I love myself some good quotes. I know when I read books that have quotes in them, I'll go through ahead and look at all of the quotes on the chapter.
Yeah, I do that too. Yeah. you don't want to frighten the horses. So this must be probably the late 1800s that Mrs. Patrick Campbell was giving this quote. Doesn't matter what you do, as long as you don't do it in the streets and frighten the horses.
Yeah, exactly. But I agree with you. Taking sex off the table or taking intercourse off the table, we should say, is such a great move because it does free you up to explore and experiment and try new things. Because oftentimes we get so hyper-focused on intercourse and on orgasms, and we can let that go. Not only do we have room to explore other areas and discover new things, it takes away a lot of pressure that intercourse can create in our minds about erections or orgasms or, fill in the blank. So it just is a really great idea to try. I encourage anybody listening who wants to have a better sex life to give it a go. And it does bring back that naughty time when we weren't allowed to have intercourse and we had so much fun. I love the way you put it, a religious experience. I mean, it brings back some really good memories.
Yes, yes, yes. And you mentioned erections. A lot of guys who have ED or PE, premature ejaculation, are really relieved to have an outer course assignment and to do the sensate focus, caressing exercises, where intercourse is not allowed. They're relieved. It takes the pressure off. And then there's all this exploration that takes place. And you write in your book, in and out sex focused on the genitals often becomes boring and unsatisfying. And it's so true. So you're suggesting a lot of things in your book, but try touching and kissing your partner differently, having sex in different room because a room of the house, or experimenting with sex toys, reading erotic books or watching adult films together to get new ideas. By the way, I've had my clients look at our Great Sex for a Lifetime. These are sex ed videos produced by the Sinclair Institute.
It's one of the better ones that I know that I've worked on, and I know you feel the same way. It's something that I know I'm proud of.
Yes.
It's some really good information, and you get to see other couples talking about their concerns and insecurities. I think there's something nice and comforting about that.
Yes. In the case of Great Sex for a Lifetime, we're focused, the target audience is baby boomers, and so you have some scenes where couples have all their clothes on and they're talking about their relationship. Then you have other scenes where you have couples without their clothes demonstrating what we're talking about. So there is explicit sex, but it's not porn. It's sex education. You want to talk a little bit more about that? Because you've done a lot of narration of sex education films. A lot more than I've done even.
Yeah, well, most of us haven't seen other people have sex. There are some who have, but I'm going to say the majority of us haven't in real life. The kind of sex that we witness is either, mainstream films, which we know that is not based in any form of reality whatsoever. It is made to look really good on screen. But porn is the same thing. It is designed to titillate us. It's designed to excite us. It is not designed to educate us. And so when we have our only sexual experiences, again, outside of ourselves, in those ways, we tend to believe that that's what we're supposed to be doing, or that's what it's supposed to look like, or that's what we're supposed to look like, or our partner is, and it creates a lot of problems. So these videos or DVDs, or whatever we can call it, when we stream, I'm aging myself or dating myself here because if it's a whole new world, DVDs are going to be obsolete at some point. But when
I know.
Have these, right, in whatever form to watch, we can
They're still called videos, by the way, no matter
what. Good. Okay.
Yeah, that's what my fiance, my fiance told me that you can still call them videos all across the board. Anyway, go on.
We're going to call. It makes it so much simpler. But when we're looking at real couples having real sex, now we also have to be clear here. These are couples who have some amount of freedom or comfort having sex in front of a camera, so they may not exactly replicate the way you would have sex, but it is much more educational, and it is designed to be educational, you know, as opposed to getting your information from mainstream films or from porn, which is really problematic. And so there's something really nice about that. So it is, you know, there is the narration from an expert, whether it's me or you or whoever, and they get to actually witness what real sex can look like. And we don't get opportunities to do that, most of us. So it's a good resource, and also a really great resource to start some conversations. When you watch it with your partner and say, hey, what do you think about that? Would you feel comfortable doing that? What do you think? Maybe would you be willing to try that? And it can start some great conversations that you might not have had otherwise.
I even give my couples a rating sheet. Seeing this film, I felt desire, not at all, somewhat, yes. Anger, you know, not at all. I go through a whole list of feelings. Maybe I should send you that rating sheet, too.
It. I think that's such a brilliant idea, and I haven't done that. So I always love getting new ideas from you, Diana.
Yeah.
Because I think it'd be really helpful, you know, when they have something, again, when they have something to refer to that gives them a place to be able to get clear about what it is that they're thinking or feeling, as opposed to just doing it freestyle. Sometimes we don't even know.
I suggest that they watch the video and stop after each segment and talk about it. And I bet you do the same thing, because it really can generate, as you already have said, it starts conversations. So, and that's what so many couples need. They need to talk about, because so many couples have trouble talking about their sex life.
It's extremely difficult for a lot of people. And, you know, some of the things that you mentioned, two things that I was listening to as you were talking about the different things that you can do. One was, just try something new. You made a list of all these different things that you could try new, whether it's in a new place or in a new position, or maybe it's a new toy. And the other one is to educate yourself. And we can educate ourselves with resources such as these educational DVDs, or there's some great books out there, or some great podcasts, as you know, because you're listening to one. Listeners, you know about good information from a good podcast, and you are in the right place. There's so many great resources there. So learning, again, from those kind of outside resources, but what you're also referring to is the best way to learn is from our partner. How do we learn how to turn our partner on or be a great lover for our partner is to talk and have those conversations, those difficult, uncomfortable conversations, but they still need to really be able to amp up and improve your sex life. That's going to be, I think, probably the most important thing. Would you agree?
I would agree so much that there is, for lots of folks, there really is shame and anxiety around sexuality, and it usually goes back to their childhoods and what they were exposed to. And so one way to get past the shame is to begin to look at it and talk about it. And get educated. You know, it's certainly watching sex ed videos, and we all know, and you've already alluded to it, porn is a terrible sex education vehicle. You know, Michael Castleman, and I know he's in your book as a referral. He's got a great book, but he says a lot of men would, because he has his book is for male sexuality, great sex. He says men would do very well to scrap the porn and bring out the massage lotion.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that's really, really true.
And his book is one I've been to most of my male clients. Great Sex by Michael Castleman at the Sea. I highly recommend that book.
Me too. Me too. You know, it used to be years ago, Bernie Zelbergeld was the one. And his book is still a classic.
Still good.
But I even like Michael Castleman more now at this point.
Yeah. Information is so similar, but it just reads differently.
Mm-hmm.
I think Castleman is more current and relatable.
Yeah. I think this is another good thing about your book. You've got recommended reading and DVDs, and right at the top, maybe it's because his last name is a C, Michael Castleman, Great Sex. The subtitle has to do with male sexuality. I can't remember what it is. And you also recommend another book that I recommend all the time, and that's Paul Yohannity's book, The Guide to Getting It On.
I was going to say that, Paul, I think it's Yohannides or whoever you say it, but
yeah,
his book,
I know.
The Guide to Getting It On, is another great book that I highly recommend to anybody. One, to just read. It is a very fun read. I mean, you will enjoy reading that book and to be able to, again, start really great conversations. You'll learn things, and it's a great resource to start conversations with your partner. So when we're talking about, if your decision this year is to have a better sex life and you're going to find some action steps to do, maybe it is to learn more about sex, we're giving you some great resources here. And those are two great books. And the other one that you and I talked about off the air, what important book that I don't have on my list because it hadn't been written yet, is Emily Nagoski's book, Come As You Are.
Come As You Are. Yes, a more recent book.
Yes, great
and
book.
A very good book, Come As You Are. And that means, well, I haven't quite read it yet. Brian, my fiancé, who will be my husband as of March 18th. We're coming up to a wedding. I'm announcing publicly. This is very exciting for me. So Brian just got that book out of the library. I love it that he wants to keep current on human sexuality, too. So I haven't read the book, but you like it.
More evidence you've got yourself a good one. No, it is probably one of the best books written out there for women and sexuality. I think you're going to really enjoy it, Diana. And anybody who reads it, you will definitely get a lot out of it.
Yeah.
It's the stuff we talk about often in our offices, and she puts it in ways that make it really tangible.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of my clients have adopted that language to be able to speak about it with their partner. It makes it just easier to talk about. We're talking about communication. How do you even begin these conversations? They're very difficult to begin, and having a way to start these conversations is a good thing. And sometimes books will give us those, and whether it's in exercises or just the language that is used. So this will be very, very helpful for that. So that's in the learning. And the trying something new, you mentioned a lot of different things, but trying something new in life, certainly in our sex life, is extremely important if we want to grow. And as we know,
yes,
if we're not growing, we're dying, right? If what stagnates dies, we have to keep moving. We have to keep learning and growing and evolving. And it's like what you said at the beginning with Anais Nin's quote. It was a perfect quote. I don't know if you can read it again, but it applies to this perfectly.
Yeah, I'm going to read it again. I mean, she was a woman ahead of her time, let's face it.
I used to read books all the time, even when I was young. Yeah.
I'm going to read her quote. Love never dies a natural death. It dies because we don't know how to replenish its source.
That
she also said, and this kind of ties in, this quote of hers, it takes courage to push yourself to places that you have never been before, to test your limits, to break through barriers. And the day came when the risk it took to remain tight inside the bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom. Isn't that brilliant?
Yes, one of my favorite quotes. I think it's even on my website. One of my very favorite quotes, and exactly what we are talking about now. So one decision you can make, and I've talked about this a lot, certainly on your show before, the decision that I made a long time ago was to do something every day that scared me, which is the Eleanor Roosevelt quote.
Yeah.
Like quotes. But that do something scary every day, another way to say that is do something that makes you uncomfortable, and that's how you're going to grow. Mm-hmm. And that is very true when it comes to sex. You keep doing the same thing, even if it works wonderfully, at some point it's going to stop if it's not evolving in any way. So it's important to keep that passion going. And that's why so many people think that when we get older, or when we've been in a relationship for a long time, or we get married, that good sex goes out the window. Because for many people it does. They have a belief that that's what happens. They don't do anything to grow, to nurture that, you know, that experience and that energy. And so when that happens, because that's what they believe is supposed to happen, then there you have it. You find yourself in a passionless or sexless relationship. And it doesn't have to be that way when you have intention and you take action and do these things that we're talking about. So I do hope that listeners are taking what we're saying, finding what fits for you, and applying it into your life. And even if you don't have a partner, you can still apply it into your life in other ways, whatever it is that you are deciding to do or you want to accomplish this year.
I want to talk about the biochemistry of passion, because according to evolutionary anthropologist Helen Fisher, she says it can be short-lived. That the hormonal cocktail of romance, which is dopamine, norepinephrine, and PEA, she says it's known to last no more than a few years at best. But she also says that oxytocin, the cuddling hormone, outlasts them all. Now, I think it is possible to keep romance and hot sex alive in long-term relationships. But it takes a bit of effort. And a lot of people think, good sex is supposed to just be natural and spontaneous. And that is simply not true, because there is this biochemistry aspect. And don't you agree? I mean, you've got to. Well, that's what your book is about. People, get her book. You'll get lots of good tips.
Thank you, Diana. That's what we get in our way, our beliefs.
Yeah.
These are the things that we believe, and if we believe that, then that's what we do, and those self-fulfilling prophecies. And it is true that our hormones and our chemistry, that changes, but there are things that we can do to keep it exciting. And there are some really nice things about serotonin and oxytocin in our bodies that can make sex really enjoyable. You know, from that heart place and connected, you know, very heartfelt sex can be incredibly enjoyable. It may not be that same erotic hit that you had when you first met, but it's not any less. It is just as enjoyable. It's just different. So sex changes, but it doesn't mean that we can't create environments that are erotic. And it is trying new things. Now we're trying new things and we're doing things that are adventurous. We're exploring. We can create more, you know, more of that dopamine and norepinephrine in our brain.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about going on a roller coaster, doing those kinds of risky, exciting things together. So there are things that we do. But novelty, we know, is a big one.
Because novelty brings dopamine, the hormone of arousal. And we can trick the brain if we do some of these new things, like making love in different places, playing out fantasies, and so on. We can trick the brain into producing more dopamine. And dopamine needs novelty.
Seems so simple. But if people don't even know that, or they don't believe that that's possible, that's where the problem lies. We have to really get clear about those beliefs that we have, or those things that we've been told or not told, that are getting in the way of our life. That happens again with sex, with our relationships, with everything in our life. But since we're talking about sex, that is something that is important, that when you put in the effort, yes, everything worthwhile takes effort. It doesn't happen just organically and naturally, because what happens organically and naturally is we get settled in. Everything else becomes more important. You know, we get into the kids and the job and the house, and we're tired, and we've seen our partner naked so many times, it's like looking at the furniture, and, you know, it's predictable, not very exciting. That's the natural state of affairs. That's what happens. Yeah. For us to change it, we can do it, but it takes some imagination and it takes a lot of effort and it takes intention and action. And that's what we're talking about on today's show.
That's what we're talking about. Imagination and let's add to that creativity.
And you and I always talk about, I think every time we speak, Diana, we've talked a lot on the air.
We have.
We always make it fun, because if it's not fun, what's the point? It's got to be fun.
Yes, fun. That is so true, and sex toys can make it more fun. Your decision 18 in your book is make a decision to try a new position, place, or sex toy once a month. Let's talk a little bit about sex toys, because they really can make it more fun and give up, and you can get spikes of dopamine because it's new. It'll produce some novelty. It may generate an orgasm in the woman, that a kind of an orgasm that she's never had before.
Yes. And it is one of the easiest ways to increase pleasure, satisfaction, and fun. But, you know, it takes some courage sometimes. It's like, well, first of all, how do you even get the toy? Which toy do you get? How do you know if it's the right one? And toys, the good ones nowadays, they're not inexpensive. So it's an investment. You know, you want to buy a good vibrator. You know, you're talking about $100. And if it's not the right one or you don't like it, you know, it's taking a bit of a risk. So sometimes the decision to buy a toy can become overwhelming, so it's easier just not to. Or it could be embarrassing. And even though we can go online and buy it, it could be embarrassing. How do we talk about it with our partner? How do we even begin to use it?
You know, recommend certain toys to your clients. I do, to take some of the guesswork out. In my experience, spending a little more money. And my goodness, you can get all these sex toys now even through Amazon. It's just amazing all the things that Amazon sells. But it's a good investment, because the more expensive vibrators and so on last longer. They are quiet. They go at 6 to 8 different speeds. They can be mutually interactive. You know, there are a lot of things. You don't want to buy a cheap sex toy that will break soon, in my opinion. So it is an investment. You use the word investment, but it can be a very good investment.
Right, and if you buy a cheap toy that isn't very pleasurable, or for whatever reason you don't like it, then your experience with vibrators or sex toys, whatever you're using, is negative. So then it's, well, I don't like sex toys. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the people who like Starbucks coffee. But, you know, there's a lot of different varieties at Starbucks. Which coffee don't you like? Maybe you need to try a different one. Or I don't like Chinese food. What kinds of Chinese food have you tried? Maybe there's different ones. And there's so many options, which makes it more difficult. It's almost more challenging because there's so many options. I do have on my website, I have a sex ed page, and I have some recommended toys that I have on that page that people can get. And I'm also continuing daily to increase that and improve upon it and write a little bit more about these toys. But there's some really good ones right now for women who, and we know this is the majority of women, not all women, but about 2/3 of women need direct clitoral stimulation to have an orgasm. And while oral sex can be great for that, and, you know, manual sex or using a vibrator can be great, there are ways now that you can have intercourse with a vibrator on your clitoris. So it could be with a little pocket rocket. It could be with a Wii Vibe. And there's this product called Eva that is really great.
Talk about Eva. We've talked about Wii Vibe before. And by the way, I'll write this up in the write-up after the show. But Lori's website is drloribuckley.com. And so you can read about these sex toys and on her website. But talk about the EVA.
So the EVA, not on my website yet, but you can find it online. EVA 2, okay. I would recommend. There's an EVA 1 and an EVA 2. It is developed by these two young girls, and it's a really unique toy. It's a vibrator that you put on your clitoris, and it has little legs that you tuck into your labia, so you can have hands-free intercourse with the vibrator on your clitoris, which is a great thing. Hands-free makes it just a little bit easier. And then the other go-to that I'm sure you recommend, I still recommend it, is a vibrating cock ring. And even speaking of being to get sex toys everywhere, Trojan makes one that you can buy at the grocery market. A vibrating
cock ring. Isn't that amazing? Wow.
Market. I know.
We've come a long way, baby.
Yeah, and if vibrating's not your thing, they also have cock rings that have nubs on them, you know, that would also touch your clitoris or stimulate your clitoris. So those are good things. There's so many wonderful different things to explore. And then, of course, there's the dildo, which is the difference between a dildo and a vibrator is a dildo doesn't vibrate. And in my opinion, I guess we all have our own opinion, but from what I understand from talking to a lot of women, having something vibrate inside of you, in your vagina, not really so important. The vibration is right, it's most beneficial on your clitoris, but there's something nice about having something inside of you, especially if it's going to give you a G-spot stimulation. It doesn't need to vibrate. That's what dildos are good for. So you can, if you use a dildo, last being my preferred one that I like to recommend to people, it goes to your body temperature, but they make really some great products now, all different kinds of materials, but it's hard. It gets nice and warm. It's a nice, not the kind of glass that's going to break, like, you know, what we drink from. It's a very sturdy kind of glass. But you do that, and you can have your partner do that, and then have some kind of a vibrator on your clitoris. That can be a really enjoyable thing.
So I'm seeing a couple where, let's see, they're around 50, and they've been married a long time. And he has ED. And the PDE5 inhibitors, that would be the Viagra, the Cialis, and all of that, don't seem to work very well for him because he'll get an erection and then lose it. But what has helped, and actually I sent this couple to the website that shows our sex ed videos, and this is the Sinclair Institute website, bettersex.com, and they have everything there, including some very good strap-on dildos. And so the couple that I was just talking about got a strap-on dildo, and it made all the difference because she had the satisfaction of feeling filled up, and she wanted that. She wanted the feeling that would come with having a hard cock in her, but instead it's the strap-on, but they had come in different sizes, you know, girth and length. In fact, a little side note here, I also had a client who was in a relationship, a sexual relationship, with a trans man. He'd gone woman to man. And he didn't want to have the bottom surgery. So he had a whole variety of strap-ons.
Nice. I love the variety. By the way, we could do that even if you do have a penis.
I know. Exactly. And she said it was so satisfying that they experimented, that they had a good time with all these different sizes of dildos on the strap-on. And so they've come a long way in terms of sex toys and all that, right?
I love the idea of having the variety. And by the way, speaking of cock rings, we were talking about cock rings before for the woman, cock rings are also really good for men who can get an erection but they have trouble sustaining one.
That's right. And let's talk about that because that's so true.
Right, because what it does is the blood pumps in on towards the inside and out towards the outside. So it's a constrictor ring. It can be called a constrictor ring or a cock ring. It constricts it so it holds the blood in. So those are really helpful for a lot of men who have trouble sustaining an erection. Now, they have the kind that are rubber bandy, like the Trojan ones, and they're a little less expensive. They're like, and like gummy bear kind of stuff. I don't know what you would, like rubbery, stretchy, like a, not a rubber band, because that sounds horrible, more like that jelly kind of material. And they can be good, but there are better ones that you can get. And if you're really into it, you can get custom ones. And you have to, there's a formula.
Oh, I don't know about that. Tell us about custom.
So if you look at custom cock rings, it's a pie formula. I wouldn't even know how to tell you to do it, but if you go to a website, you can just Google custom fit cock rings. They would give you all the information and you can order it. And what's really cool about custom made cock rings is they can stay on. They're not going to hurt you, because if you're not erect, it can stay on. It goes around behind your balls and over your penis, and it fits you very nicely. It stays there. It's like jewelry for your penis. And then when you do get an erection.
I love that, Lori. Jewelry for your penis.
Penis jewelry. And what man doesn't want some jewelry for his penis? They're usually metal, so, you know, you got to be careful if you're traveling. But when you do get an erection, then it gets tight, and it does what it's supposed to do. But it's not going to be dangerous to you. Those other ones, you can't keep them on too long. They can hurt. They can be too tight, not tight enough. So they're a good thing to experiment with. But if you're really into it, it's something you might want to check out. They're fun.
You know, so we're talking about sex toys that can be expensive, but we've already used the word investment. And it seems to me that people spend a lot of money. Even some people spend lots of money weekly at Starbucks, or they'll have a nice dinner out, a couple. But if so, instead, siphon some of this money into investing in a sex toy that could enhance your sex life a lot.
Right.
Don't you
priceless
think so?
Okay. And last you a lifetime. The good ones can last a really long time.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
I went to a sex toy show yesterday over here in Burbank. So much fun. But one of my companies and man that I admire, Tom over from Sport Sheets, saw him and looked at some of his stuff. Sport Sheets has some really fun stuff. He has a new line called Sex and Mischief, SNM, and he's got some really fun toys for those of you who are into the 50 Shades of Grey, but maybe it seems a little scary and you just want to try some fun, innocent, erotic power play. Definitely check that out. They're not expensive, is why I'm mentioning it. Some things that are just very, very simple, a little paddle that's lined in fur on one side and felt on another that you can just use for a sensory experience, or a little paddle on, you know, on your rear. It could be just fun, and little cuffs and all kinds of restraints. He has some more serious ones too, but it is a really fun way to explore that. He's got little kits for beginners and all kinds of things there, too, that you might want to.
So say what that website is, because I want to put it in my write-up.
His product is, the company name is called SportSheets.com. And
Sports, S-P-O-R-T-S, or Sheet, Sheets.com.
On your bed, his first product, and he still has it, are sheets that have restraints on them.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then the newest incarnation of 50 Shades of Grey apparently is coming out next month at Valentine's.
Yes. And look, there's some people who may or may not enjoy the book or may or may not enjoy the movies, but the concept of that kind of playfulness and fun, or being tied up or restraining your partner, can be exciting. And there are, again, some things, especially in the movie, that can look pretty scary, but there are some very fun, safe, harmless toys to play with and explore. And he's got some good ones.
Well, that's wonderful. And his name is Tom, and you got to talk to him at the show yesterday, huh?
Yes, he is going to come over. I'm going to have him on my show sometime in the next couple of months. I've interviewed him before, and he is a very fun guy. When last time he was on my show, he made me wear a pegging kit, which is a strap-on dildo.
Oh, Lori, you can be naughty, huh?
What can I say? It was over my pants, just so you know.
Oh, okay. Oh, my goodness. Oh, but that's really fun, because if we can interject playfulness and new stuff and maybe even a little naughty stuff like a paddle with fur and what did you say, fur and what?
Felt.
What? Felt?
Felt. Yeah. You know, felt. What, we used to play with felt in like art class, right?
Oh, yeah,
when
right.
We were kids.
And then little cuffs, all of these things, it's new. It produces dopamine. It's under the heading of playfulness and exploration. And it can be a lot of fun and maybe even, you know, maybe a little spanking or paddling can generate an orgasm.
It's really good stuff. And I just thought of two more resources. One, on my website, also in that page called Sex Ed, I do have a link to get some videos on demand that you can watch, produced by the Alexander Institute. And they're kind of nice. You can see something there that you can watch together. It's right on demand. And the other thing is on Amazon, you can get a book. And I don't know if I've mentioned this one before, but I think it's a fun one. It's called 469 Fun Sex Questions.
Oh, that's good. Who wrote that?
I don't know, but it's on Amazon.
That's on Amazon. 469 fun sex questions.
Yes, and you can ask questions randomly, or you can pick ones that you want to ask. And again, a really great resource for starting some conversations.
Another great resource is a game called Enchanting Evening. Developed by, and I think we've talked about this before, but my friends, Michael and Barbara Jonas, and over the years, Enchanting Evening has sold almost 1 million copies.
And, been around for a while.
And that can be found at timefortwo.com, T-W-O, timefortwo.com, and that generates so many questions, just going around the board. And some of them are questions that generate conversations. Others generate different kinds of kisses and some physical activity. So all of these things, I think that those who are listening should not be afraid of having tools, of having toys and games. Yeah. And more information. What is the Sinclair Institute's motto? Sex
is good sex. We're not born with it.
Yeah.
We learn it. Yeah, something like that. Sexual skill, we're not born with it. We learn it.
Sex knowledge is power. Well, that's not what they say, but it is. And, you know, there was a small study done years ago, and people were wondering if sex therapists had better sex than other people. Well, it turns out that we do. And the reason is we can have sex without anxiety because we have a lot of knowledge. We're confident. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes, it's about the confidence and comfort. Do we have better skills necessarily? Do we know how to touch our partner the way they want to be touched? Maybe not, but we know to ask. We know how to explore, comfortable telling them what we like. So that it is about that confidence and comfort, I think, more than skill that really matters.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing. By the way, just want you to know, I looked up the author of 469 Fun Sex Questions for couples, by the way, and
good.
It is Michael Kortekaas, Kortekaas.
K-O-R, say it again.
Kortekaas. But it'll come up right away if you just put in 49 Fun Sex Questions, and it comes
469
in
469 Fun Sex Questions, right?
Right.
Okay. That's a good resource. I don't know about that, but any of these kinds of books or games or videos like we've done, sex ed videos, that can generate conversations. Because that's the thing. Most of our clients have a lot of trouble talking about sex. Sexual communication. And then when they come to see us, they find, well, we can be good role models. We can talk easily about sex. We use actual terminology like penis rather than cock, or although we can use that word too. But anyway, we have a comfort in discussing this, and that makes a difference for a lot of people.
It gives them comfort.
It gives them comfort.
Like, you talk about this so freely, right? And so it just makes it easier. And I've had couples that's like, well, we talk about it when we're with you, but we can only talk about it when we're in here with you. And that's usually the way it starts. But then after they
do that
for a while, then they're able to carry it over and have those continuing conversations. And that's why we're talking about, you don't necessarily have to go to a therapist, although certainly a good resource as well, if that's what you need, if things are a little bit more serious or you're having more blocks or more challenges, a therapist, certified sex therapist, is a good place to go. And you can go to asect.org to find someone in your area, AASECT.org. And that's always a great resource. But
Absolutely.
It is really how to find other resources in addition or instead of that could be useful as well. And that's what we're talking about. Starting that conversation or just talking about sex by itself can be really daunting. If you have a book or a video or something to refer to, it gives you a way to be able to do that, or even to be able to have your partner listen to this podcast would be a good start.
Absolutely. I've had clients do that. Where I'll say, oh, you should listen to this last interview I did, and it's now archived, and so it's a podcast, and you should do that. And then they come back and they say, oh, that was very useful, and I sent it on to some other people, my friends, because, we really need more knowledge about sexuality, about good sex. About healthy sex. Well, what is healthy? Healthy sex is communicative sex. We've had this whole time in recent times about consent. We need to have consent. Of course, that takes us way off track, but
I was going to say that's number one when it comes to healthy is consensual.
Consensual, that's right. Consensual is very, very important, obviously. So,
safe.
What?
And
say
safe.
Again, Lori?
Safe. Can you hear me?
Yeah, well, I didn't quite hear. I'm sorry.
Safe. I don't know why you can't hear me.
Just expand on it because I don't know. I'm not getting the whole word.
S-A-F-E. S-A-F-E. Safe.
Oh, safe. Yes. That's so important. The amygdala in our brains, that's the feeling center, but mainly the fear center. It can be on high alert for some women who've had sexual abuse in their background, or men too. But women need to feel safe in order to let go, to surrender. And of course, we have the best sex when we can do this.
Yeah, so we're not just talking about physical safety, that's important too, obviously, but emotional safety.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about, really.
Right, that's important. And there's a lot of women who do not feel emotionally safe, and it's not necessarily something that their partner is doing wrong, but something that's wrong for them, like you said, because of a past experience or because of our own beliefs or thoughts or fears. And if we don't communicate about that, here we go again with that communication word, then we're never going to be able to work through that and find something else.
Absolutely.
Staying in silence.
And somebody who's had sexual abuse or trauma, male or female, it's usually female, but it can be male too, they really do need to get professional help, in my experience. And you're suggesting the asect.org is very good, AASECT.org, where you can find a certified sex therapist in your area. And most always, when there's been sexual trauma, sexual abuse in one's background, you need some professional help to get through this. Otherwise, you won't be able to be in the moment. You won't feel safe. You won't be able to let go and surrender and have orgasms. Right? It's just, and then there's a lot of the shame and anxiety that needs to be worked through. Oh, my goodness. All right. They're cutting us off even earlier than usual. So thank you, Dr. Lori. We'll do this again soon. Goodbye, everybody. My boy Getty.